Hey, thanks so much for taking the time to listen to this podcast from Vital Point Church. My name is Ron. I'm the pastor here at Vital Point. We believe that it's important for people to explore and grow in their faith. And my hope, my prayer is that this message that you're listening to will draw you closer to better understanding how you can live out your faith journey in the everyday life. Sit back and enjoy. For those of you who are new today, we are in a series called Empowered, and we've been looking at what the Bible talks about as it connects to this thing called spiritual gifts. We've been doing this now for a number of weeks, and the reason why we have been doing this series is because there are a lot of people that will go through their journey of life and faith and not fully understand what their gifts are. And so this series, we have been talking through how you can discover your gifts, develop your gifts, and deploy your gifts within the context of the church. There's a verse in 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 10 that says that he gives us gifts that we are to use them to serve one another and to steward them. It's an important dynamic for you in your journey of faith. We call this series Empowered because we truly do believe that the spiritual gifts are the supernatural working of God that are empowered by the Spirit in your life in relationship to Jesus Christ. We have a deep conviction, a growing deep conviction as a church, that we will find our greatest joy and our greatest empowerment and power in our faith journey when we are using our spiritual gifts. In the past few weeks, we talked about the apex of our faith. Now, if you're new to Vital Point Online and you're kind of like, what are we talking about? And you're not even sure if you're a follower of Jesus right now. We're painting a picture of what it looks like when you take that faith step and that trust in Jesus Christ. And so my hope is that you will stick around and be part of the conversation. Today we turn the corner in our series, and we are going to spend this week and next week talking about this thing called power gifts. John Thompson, in his book, Convergence, breaks the spiritual gifts down into three categories. And I've been using his book to help me navigate some of the content. We looked at love gifts, word gifts, and today we're going to talk about power gifts. Power gifts, you're going to see on the screen, demonstrate the power and the presence and the reality of God. What we're going to learn over the next number of weeks as we examine the power gifts is that there are some of us that have this empowering gift that happens on a regular basis. This is something that God has, in His grace, has extended to you as an expression of understanding His power and His presence and the reality of who He is in your life. And the gifts are expressed within the context of community, within the context of the church, but all for the purpose of revealing the kingdom of God to the individual and to the body in which these gifts are being expressed. Now, we also must understand that these power gifts also come into the realm of special manifestation of an expression in a unique circumstance. So it is possible that those of you who do not have these specific gifts that we're going to look at actually might at times have a specific manifestation of the empowering of the Holy Spirit for a specific purpose. The Spirit would come upon you and you would at that moment be able to display these particular gifts. It's interesting because when I think about the gifts and as I think about how they are organized and structured within the church, which we often refer to as a body, we look at the first few love gifts and word gifts very much from, I would call, an organizational perspective. So when you think about teaching gifts and leadership, administration, guidance, when you think about pastoral and shepherding and evangelism, those gifts fall into this idea of very structural, organizational complexity to the local church. When I think about the power gifts, they come into the realm of a different space. Not more important, but in a way that's unique. In a way that for some of us, we might scratch our heads because they seem so out of the ordinary. in our Western mindset, we want to be able to reason things away. We want to be able to explain things away. But the reality is, with the supernatural power gifts, there are often moments and times where we cannot describe what just happened. So as we step into this conversation about power gifts, I want us to understand a couple things. First and foremost, we must extend grace to each other as we talk about these things, as we navigate these power gifts. Because the reality of these gifts in church history is that sometimes they are used for the good, and oftentimes and sometimes they are abused and misunderstood. So my prayer is that we will extend grace to each other over these next few moments and these next few weeks. Full disclosure, from my perspective on teaching through these gifts, I want you to know that some elements of the power gifts I do not have experience with, and I fully don't understand them. So in some ways, I'm walking shoulder to shoulder with many of us as we explore these gifts and learn together. So for many of the gifts that we've been talking about over the past few weeks, I kind of view myself as being 4 or 5 steps ahead of our community, studying, preparing, seeking God, praying, and then I'm like this guide walking us through these spiritual gifts. But on these particular ones, and some of the, what we're going to look at today, I feel like I'm going to be walking shoulder to shoulder. And in all humility and understanding of my posture in this, I had to reach out to a few of my pastor friends for wisdom and input. And one particular pastor, his name is David Campbell, who's becoming like a father figure in our church environment, which he's going to be teaching for us again this summer. I sought his counsel and guidance on some of these things. So as we step in, let's have an extension of grace to each other and a posture of learning. What are the gifts? Some of you are listening to this right now and you're on your deck chair by your pool, sipping your coffee, and you're leaning in. You're going, come on, Ron, just tell me what they are. Well, here we go. Again, what are power gifts? They demonstrate the power and the presence of God. These gifts are used to form the kingdom of God in a way that impacts the reality of who he is, bring about a deeper sense of obedience and trust within God's economy. Here's the gifts. I'll put them on the screen for you. Prophetic, tongues, interpretation, faith, discernment of spirits, wisdom and knowledge, healing and miracles. What we're going to do today is we're going to look at prophetic, tongues, and interpretation, and then we're going to look at the second grouping next week as we wrap up our series. Now, as we go through these, we're going to put the number on the screen, and what we've been doing all through this series, if you feel that you might have one or two of these gifts, we're going to have you text it in, and that number's on the screen, and I'll revisit it for us as we get to them. Now, when you think about the first grouping of power gifts, and you look at the prophetic tongues and interpretation, you automatically have to go to a section of the Bible called Corinthians. Corinthians chapter 14, 1 Corinthians 14, describes the use of prophecy, tongues, and interpretation. I want to read the first section for you and then begin to unpack it for us. It says this, pursue love and earnestly desire the spiritual gifts, especially that you may prophesy. For one who speaks in a tongue speaks not to men but to God. For no one understands him, but he utters mysteries in the spirit. On the other hand, the one who prophesies speaks to people for their upbuilding and encouragement and consolation. The one who speaks in a tongue builds up himself, but the one who prophesies builds up the church. Now, I want you all to speak in tongues, but even more to prophesy. The one who prophesies is greater than the one who speaks in tongues, unless someone interprets so that the church may be built up. The writer of this letter is the Apostle Paul. And what Paul is doing in this letter is he's trying to bring clarity to the confusion and the use of these particular gifts. Now, as you read that, you might get a sense that he has actually categorized the priority of these particular gifts, one above the other. But what you need to know is that that's not exactly what is happening in the context of the letter that Paul has written here. What we begin to realize is that Paul is trying to give clarity to the purpose and the position of these particular gifts. What was happening in the context of the day, and if you do any study on this, you begin to realize is that these gifts were being abused within the church at Corinth. And Paul is stepping into the moment trying to give clarity. He's trying to help them navigate the purpose, and he's trying to position them properly within the context of the church. See, when you look at it, you begin to realize that right away we see the two gifts emerge, which is prophecy and tongues. We're going to look at prophecy first, but we have to make a comment about tongues to set the tone for prophecy. When we see what is happening in this moment, we recognize this, that tongues, you can see this from the basic view of this scripture passage, tongues are words to God. Prophecy is God's word to us. So Paul is saying in this moment that he is saying that God's priority and purpose is to speak to us through the prophetic gift in order to encourage, comfort, correct, and strengthen. When you think about the context of understanding the prophetic gifting, we'll start there. We recognize that the prophetic gifting is this ability to step into what I would refer to as the gap. Steps into the gap. When a person understands this gift, when a person begins to develop this gift, they have an awareness that they have one foot in the truths of God's kingdom and one foot in the reality of the world. Now, I'm not talking about being of both worlds. What I'm talking about is the understanding of biblical truth or the reality of God's kingdom and awareness of what is going on in the world. So when the prophetic gift steps into the moment to speak the word that God has given to this person and empowering of the Spirit, they speak with authority into the gap. But they speak with what? Humility and love. Humility and love. Anytime someone is giving a prophetic word, that you will have a sense of understanding the humility and love and the characteristic of that. Matter of fact, right at the very beginning of chapter 14, he says, pursue love above everything else. Pursue love. One writer said this about the prophetic gift. They said this, that the prophetic gift has an ear towards the whispers of God and an eye where society is heading, and the prophetic steps into that moment and brings focus and alignment. See, here's the thing. It's very easy to misunderstand the prophetic gifting as some sort of fortune telling. It's easy to think that maybe the prophetic gift has some sort of faith crystal ball that they look into and they can predict the future. That's not what we're talking about. We're not even talking about the prophetic as it connects to the Old Testament. The Old Testament prophets, matter of fact, when they spoke a word from God, if it wasn't accurate or wasn't right or didn't happen, they would stone them. Thankfully, we don't do that nowadays. After, you know, the death and burial and resurrection of Christ, the prophetic gifting has a different function in the context of the church. We must understand that the gifting of the prophetic speaks into the gap with clarity, with authority, which will always have the heart of bringing about faithfulness to the truth and obedience to the truth of God. This gifting has an awareness of the whisper and voice of God that is directed to the other person. Now, what's interesting about the gift as well, and I've referred to it a little bit here, is that the gifting is often one-on-one in the sense of the prophetic, in the sense of a one-on-one experience. And let me just take a sip because my throat is starting to dry up on me. And so it has a one-to-one dynamic, but it also can have a broader experience as well to the church. So when there's moments where, for example, when I'm teaching on a Sunday morning, where God, for whatever reasons, will speak through me and give me a prophetic word that steps into the gap that speaks the truth of bringing clarity and alignment to God's kingdom. There's moments when I am speaking where, in a broader sense, where the prophetic gift comes into play, where it expresses in a way where it speaks directly to someone and they experience this moment where they believe God is speaking directly to them through me or through whoever's teaching. It's the prophetic gifting. The one-on-one aspect of it happened for me recently where David Campbell, who I referenced a few moments ago, he and I were having coffee and we were sitting in a coffee shop and he was expressing to me something that God was giving to him in the moment about Vital Point Church. It was so amazing to me because he was completely unaware that God had been speaking to me about these particular things and about a specific person, and he spoke into me about this moment. And he also spoke into our community and connections pastor, David, about the same exact things. Here's the beauty and the wonder of the prophetic gift. The prophetic gift steps into the gap that speaks the truth, that brings strength and obedience. But it's also this beautiful thing that happens around this idea that there's an awareness of God in the moment. So Terrence, for example, when he goes to someone when we're in person, Terrence was the My Story that we watched just a few moments ago. When he's in a service, and he did this, he's done this a number of times when we were in person, he will go to someone and he has a sense. And so he goes to them and he speaks to them. He said, what you prayed for, God is going to answer. It's that prophetic moment that he has. I love watching him exercise this. The prophetic gifting is such a key part of the body of Christ so that the awareness and the power and the presence of God. So if you think you've got this gift of prophetic, then you live with an expectation that God is going to speak to you. Not in some audible, strange voice, but in a way through scripture, through worship, through prayer, through reflection. You also have this strong sense that you need to give this word to someone else. And let me say this, because I've been around enough people with the prophetic gifting that oftentimes they're worried about being weird. So if you're sitting here going, oh man, I don't want to express this because I don't want to be weird, it's possible that you have the gift and you have to push through that. The other part of this that's important to understand is that the prophetic gift will be grounded in biblical truth. We have to be aware of that reality. Anything that's outside of biblical truth is out of bounds. I've heard some prophetic words given as of recent that were way out of bounds, that were not biblically true. It's a false prophetic word, and so you have to have a bit of discernment with that. So if you think that you've got the prophetic gift, we're going to put the number up, and we want you to text it right on the screen, and or text that number that's on the screen, and that would be great for you to do that. And that's just for you to interact with us on that thing. On the prophetic gift, not that thing, the prophetic gift. All right, so let's talk about tongues and interpretation. Many of you have been waiting for me to get to this part, and I know that a number of my friends have been texting me and calling me about this part of the conversation around tongues and interpretation. I need to be upfront with you about tongues and interpretation. I believe it's important that I speak directly to where I am with all of this. I am in process of understanding tongues. The reason is because I grew up in a faith environment that really did not embrace this part of the spiritual gifts. In full transparency, there were times growing up that we as students, junior high and senior high kids in the faith environment, we would make fun of the kids that went to churches that did this. And because we didn't fully understand it, we shied away from it and we were super uncomfortable with it. So as I step into this, this is very much one of those moments where I'm walking shoulder to shoulder with a lot of you. Now, I know there's some of you that have this gift of tongues and interpretation, which is awesome, and we hope to learn from you. I'll talk about that in just a moment. When you think about tongues, speaking in tongues, we have to look at some of the other biblical passages to support the one that we just looked at. Because tongues emerges in the Bible in a couple of spots. So you have to see it first and foremost in our understanding and our stepping into this is in Acts chapter 2 when we see the church busting onto the scene as the Spirit of God came upon the disciples. I want to look at this for you in Acts chapter 2. In the first few verses of this particular chapter, it says this. I'll just read it all for you, and so you have it. It says, when the day of Pentecost arrived, they were all together in one place, referring to the disciples. And suddenly there came from heaven a sound like a mighty rushing wind, and it filled the entire house where they were sitting. And divided tongues as a fire appeared to them and rested on each one of them. And they were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Now there were dwelling in Jerusalem Jews, devout men from every nation under heaven. Now, what is so beautiful about this moment is that we have to see tongues as a known language in this particular incident. So when you see the Spirit of God, and Acts is about the birth of the church and the empowering of the Holy Spirit, you see this moment where they were given the ability to speak languages that were not natural to them. And in this moment, you see the disbursement of the kingdom of God going to the nations, spreading wide. It was a multicultural movement as it initiated through the Holy Spirit. Some writers of this would refer to this as God undoing what is called the Tower of Babel. In the Old Testament, when a group of culture and society were trying to build this tower to themselves, which is an image of self-reliance and self-dependence, and God created different languages and scattered them. This is a moment where we see that God is undoing this with the different languages that are being spoken in this moment, and people are being drawn to the kingdom of God and believing. Not everyone was, but a good number of people began to understand what the message of Jesus was because the known languages were being spoken. It was so crazy at one point that it's described that people were saying that they were drunk on wine, but it was early in the morning, and one of the disciples addresses this particular issue. The empowering of the Holy Spirit in this moment was the ability to speak a known language so that the good news of Jesus Christ would spread. It would be available to others. Now, what's interesting about this, and I've not totally experienced this other than one time when I was preaching, someone understood the words that I was saying, and they didn't speak English, but they understood all the words that I was saying. I have not witnessed this in any other environment, but a story that David Campbell gave me was about his wife, Elaine. She was in a large gathering, a church gathering, where she was able to speak a known language that was unknown to her, but was for someone else in the gathering. And the person that was listening was completely blown away by the experience because the person heard the voice of God in that moment. And I've heard other stories that are similar to that. Now, we must see this from a known language perspective. So in this moment, we see tongues as a known language. But what does it mean for tongues in an unknown language? What does it mean for us? How does this work? Well, Paul is very clear on this in 1 Corinthians 14. He addresses it very clearly. He speaks to this idea that the unknown language that is being spoken needs to be done in order without chaos. Because what we see in this particular account is that people were expressing the unknown language of tongues with pure chaos, and it was unorganized. Matter of fact, Paul goes as far to say, actually, I'll read it for you in verse 23. He says this, "If therefore the whole church comes together and all speak in tongues and outsiders or unbelievers enter, will they not say that you are out of your minds?" So fascinating, isn't it? Because what you see here is you see the expression of the unknown tongue that is spoken in a way that hurts the message of God. It's not for the purpose of building up the church. You see this. If you read 1 Corinthians 14 over and over, you read the whole section, you realize that Paul is deeply concerned about the building up of the church. He's concerned deeply about understanding it. See, in the context, what was happening in the expression of the unknown language of tongues was that people were doing it, and David Campbell revealed this in some stuff that he sent to me, that people were doing it for a show. They were doing it for their own glory. See, there's a piece of this that I'm still working out, because when I grew up as a kid in the church world, I often heard from people that spoke in tongues that they were super Christians. They were better Christians than the rest of us. And I've never spoken in tongues before, even up to this very moment I'm giving this talk, that I've never spoken in tongues before. Does that mean I'm lesser of a Christian? No, not at all. Not at all. And so as I think about this, and as I try to break this down for us today, we must understand that there is a greater purpose in this gift that is expressed through a person's life. See, we have to be so careful. We have to understand that it's not about a show. It's not about how good we are and look how great of a Christian I am. It's not for self-edification. Paul says in his letter, be aware of this. Pay attention to this. Be cautious. You don't want people coming into your environment that are outside of faith, looking at you and thinking you've lost your mind. Be careful with this. So what does it mean to have this gift? What does it mean to desire this gift? Well, we see a few things that emerge from this. First and foremost, our posture must be love, and our posture must be in this idea of building up and strengthening. I think that's an important aspect of understanding this. It's about building up the church. It's about building up one another. So we're not doing it out of chaos and confusion. We want to make sure there's a strengthening aspect to it. The other piece that's important to understand to speaking in tongues is this, is that tongues is the believers in Jesus Christ expression to God. It's not to other believers necessarily. So when you think about what is happening here in the context, even in verse 2, Paul makes it very clear that the expression of the unknown tongue is of the heart and the mind to God. It is an expression that we express to God even if we do not understand it. Because the other part of this that he reveals to us in verse 4 of 1 Corinthians 14 is that it is for the building of our faith. It's not a self-centered ego thing. It's actually building up our faith through praise and thanksgiving, an unknown language that is only known to God. And so as we express this gift, as we learn to express this gift in private, it's giving us a pathway to building our faith. Now, how do you describe that? Like, how do you see that? Well, it's quite simple. When you think about building up your faith through the expression of speaking in tongues, think about it through exercise. And if you're a person that exercises, or maybe you're a person that does long distance running, or maybe you road ride, you're a biker or mountain biker or whatever, one of the things that's interesting is that if you're going to do an endurance race or a marathon, or if you're going to do a long distance ride, you just don't go out every day and do 100K on your bike, every day 100K. No, you do intervals, you do hill climbing, you do sprints, because you're conditioning yourself, you're building yourself up. I want you to see this, that the building up of this idea of faith through this unknown spoken word of the tongue is for your faith. So it's an expression of praise and thanksgiving, but it's from a dynamic of private interaction between you and God. If, now here's the interesting thing, if there is a spoken unknown tongue in a larger gathering, in a corporate gathering, or maybe in a context of a small group or whatever, there must be what Paul refers to as an interpretation. There must be an interpretation to this. We see this in verse 5. At the end of verse 5, it says, those who speak in tongues, unless someone interprets so that the church may be built up. So there it is again. It's not to be done out of chaos. There's got to be an interpreter. There's someone that will be able to give known language to the unknown language. And then also down in verse 28, it says, but if there's no one to interpret, let each of them keep silent in church and speak to himself and to God. See, Paul is deeply concerned about the public expression of this unknown tongue. He's protecting the church. Matter of fact, he even talks about, I'd rather give 5 known words than 10,000 unknown words. What is he doing? He's trying to help us understand that, yes, this gift is available to us. This gift is an expression. He even says, I pray that all of you could speak in tongues and do it like I do. But we must understand the place of the gift and the purpose of the gift. If it's just for show, and if you think that you're a super Christian because you speak in tongues, that is a wrong motive and out of bounds. It's a critical piece to understand that tongues is for your own personal building up in the context of what we're talking about. So, tongues interpretation. We must understand that if the tongue is expressed, someone will be able to interpret it because of the Spirit giving you the ability to do that. Now, some might ask the question, well, Ron, what do we do at Vital Point Church if we're in a gathering of some sort and someone starts to speak in tongues? And I will say, I have no clue. I'm not sure. I've talked to people that have experience of speaking in tongues in public gatherings, and they will tell me, Ron, I've never seen it really done effectively. So I would say this, we will give room for it, yes, but I believe it's something that if there's not an interpretation to it, it must be kept to yourself in between you and God if it comes to a public setting. If you are listening to this message right now or watching this service and you're thinking, I would really love to know if I have the spiritual gift of speaking in tongues, then I would say this, ask God. Just ask Him. Ask God by His Spirit to empower you. In your private prayer life, in your private praise, ask God to give this gift to you. And maybe, just maybe, He will express the unknown language to build up your faith. Listen, I know that speaking in tongues and interpretation can get really weird and wonky. But here's the thing. I'm not even sure why I said weird and wonky. Those are just odd words to use. But I want you to know that speaking in tongues is a gift that God has given to some. And there are moments when He does do a unique manifestation of the speaking in tongues. So, if you have this gift of tongues and interpretation, as we do this quick flyby, I want you to just text that number on the screen. Say, yep, tongues and interpretation, because we want to create the safe place for you to step into this moment. And if you need help in understanding speaking in tongues and interpretation, we have some great resources that I'll be able to direct you to help you learn and understand what this gift looks like. All right, let's land this conversation. I want to land it like this. I've been thinking about this a lot. How do I wrap up a conversation around power gifts? Again, power gifts demonstrate the power and the presence and the reality of God. If you have the prophetic gifting, I would say this to you. Begin to practice this gift. Use it within the context of the safety of your home. Practice this. Learn how to use it. Because God has given it to you for a reason. Overcome your fear. You're not weird. You're not strange. Embrace the gift. If you are a tongue speaker or an interpretation of tongues, I wrote down here, maybe you're a closet tongue speaker. We want you to know that this environment as a church, we want to create a safe place for you. But you need to give us patience and grace as we walk in learning this. Two closing thoughts. As I think about power gifts, the first one is this. Power gifts will emerge as you learn to listen to the voice of God. You cannot express these gifts if you are not tuning your ear and your heart to God. John 10, Jesus says, the sheep will know my voice. If you are maturing in your faith, you are learning how to listen to the whispers of God. These giftings are critical to learn to listen to the voice of God. Okay? You have to learn that, mature in that. The second thing that I want you to understand about these particular gifts is that these gifts are best expressed in the safety, yes, of your own life. I understand that. But also within a closer circle of people to do life with. It's called connect groups. There are safe places that we are trying to create as a church where you can learn these gifts. So when you think about speaking in tongues and interpretation, maybe there's an expression that you could talk to your connect group about it and the safety of that group, and you can begin to learn what does it mean for you personally in your private life. See, the connect groups are essential. I'm amazed. I got to say this. I'm amazed at how many followers of Jesus say, I'm not wired up for community. I don't need other people. It is a lie. You need other people in your journey of faith. You need other trusted voices to help you develop these gifts. Especially when you think about the prophetic gifting, you've got to be able to practice it in the safety of community. So as we come to the end of this service and the end of this conversation, I ask this of you. Be patient, step into this moment, and ask God to reveal to you if you have these gifts. And if you do, discover them, develop them, and deploy them in the body of Christ. Before I close in prayer, I would like to just say a few things to wrap up our service as far as announcements go. We don't have a closing song, so I just want to step into this. Remember, baptism is coming up June 27th, our parent meeting this week. And I also want to say this, to those of you who continue to honor God with your resources through Vital Point Church, I just want to say thank you. I want to thank you from the leadership of this church. We are so incredibly grateful for how you continue to grow in your honoring God with your resources. We're seeing great things happen. And we're looking forward to seeing God do even greater things as we move forward as a church. Let's pray together. God, we thank you for the conversation we've been able to have today. I pray, God, that you give us clarity, that you would bring to the light the things that you need us as individuals to hear and what we as a collective community need to hear. Thank you for this passage in 1 Corinthians 14 that Paul writes and gives us clarity in what tongues and interpretation and prophecy looks like. May the simplicity of tongues understood as an expression to you and prophecy as you speaking to us. And so, God, I pray that through the words that I have shared today in this gap, that you would speak them to truth and the reality of who you are in a powerful way. And we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you for being here today.